played for the Brass Platoon at long-standing trophy game for us, and we've been fortunate on the front end of that for the most part as we move forward here. But we play for that. I've been very impressed with Coach Allen, what he's been able to accomplish at IU since becoming the head football coach. Instills toughness. They're playing great defense. Obviously, they've always played very good offensively as well. When you look at them as a football team right now, they're 3-0. So they've beaten FIU, Virginia, and then this past week in Ball State. We come off a bye week, so you know, we've got things in place in terms of what we've been able to accomplish this last week. And I thought we had good practices and got on the road recruiting and did some different things as well and stepped away from it a little bit as well for our players as well. Offensively, when you look at them, you know, Peyton Ramsey's their quarterback. I think he's done a tremendous job there, throwing the ball for, I think, 72-plus or 74% completion rate, but high, very high, been very productive. Wide receiver-wise, they've got guys they go to. Westbrook is back after an ACL injury. Been very impressed with their young players. You know, their tailback, Scott, number 21, found a guy that they can hand the ball to and has been productive. And then also number two, Reese Taylor, a guy who was the Mr. Indiana last year in high school, outstanding quarterback in high school, threw for, you know, 7,000 yards in high school, but they're using him as sort of a, you know, dual threat kind of guy, plays a lot of different positions, plays tailback, wide receiver, probably could throw it as well. So all their offensive line is basically intact, so there'll be a challenge on offense. Defensively, a lot of new guys defensively, lost a lot of all-conference players, so they're playing a lot of different people. But number nine, Crawford at safety, and 91 at defensive tackle is playing very well for them there. They're older players and returning starters, but he's got them playing hard on defense, as always, it seems, and give you a lot of different looks, a lot of different pressures. So I'll take some questions, and we'll go from there.
Coach, up the middle here. You played against spread elements, Utah State, and then also Arizona State for three quarters. That went very well. I'm wondering about the measured market improvement that you've seen in the defense against that, and you're going to see more of that in many ways against Indiana. What your thoughts are on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think against all these teams, you've got to be able to play up-tempo offense. You got to be able to stop the run, be able to play against the controlled passing game, and then be able to play the deep ball down the field, you know, because most of the teams right now that you see are vertical attack teams. They attack you vertically, I think, off of play action or off of, you know, the RPO type things, or intermediate or short. So you got to be able to tackle in space. And a lot of the things that he talks about, really, that Coach Allen talks about, you have to be able to tackle in space. Come up with turnovers, and, you know, got to play with great effort. Three things he talks about are really the three things that we're constantly talking about here. But I think every team is a little bit different in that respect. Some are going to go faster. Some are going to go slower. Some are going to have different things ready for you game by game. I think that's the nature of most offenses. What you see in a game early is what you tend to see throughout the game. IU will bring at you a number of trick plays. They always have in the past, and they've been successful. So we've got to go back and look at all of those and practice all of those and be on our toes in every respect for guys who are going to throw the ball, you know, looking at who's the quarterbacks on their roster. And, you know, they got a tight end, backup tight end, has played quarterback, you know, all these different type of things. So hopefully I'm talking them out of that one. But but it's different. Every game is different. Every team is different relative to their players, but there's always some kind of common theme, though, also with these teams.
Mark, for you guys on offense, when you go into a bye week like this, you've seen that the outside game can work with the option, some different things. You're struggling in the middle. Is this a situation where you try and reinvent the wheel at this point, or does it just have to be, you know, man up and play a little better in the middle?
Well, we played, you know, we've been here for a while, so we've got a, you know, I guess what you would say is a pretty vast background in terms of what we've done. There's a lot of different things we've done over the years here. And so we've got to look back and say and ask ourselves what's going to be best that we use, what's going to be most productive, as you said. Got to get the ball. I think you got to always get the ball on the perimeter, but you've also got to be able to get the tough yards up inside too. So there's a lot of different things that are involved in that. You got to have a great passing game as well. So there's so many different aspects of football that you look at and you ask why. And I always go back to the guy that I met one time who probably one of the smartest football guys I've talked to, when he would always say, hey, run that play where that guy busts up the middle for 20 yards again. You know, and, you know, it's just not quite like that, but we're working at it very hard and we need to play better. We need to play better running the football and getting the tough yards. And there's a lot of things that are involved in that.
Mark, I remember when Bo Schembechler, who was a little bit stubborn, used to bark, we're playing our games at 1 o'clock. If you want to come bring your pictures and come take pictures, we're playing at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Things have changed. But all these night games, are you okay with it? Do you like it? Do you dislike it? Are you indifferent?
Well, you know, I think there's, you know, is it glass half empty or is it half full, I guess, you know? I mean, at some point in time, I think it's great to play them because it gives you that feeling as a player, I think, that you're back in high school and you're playing at night and you think you're faster at night. Okay, so everybody likes to run as fast as they can. But, you know, but then you don't like to get home at 2 in the morning either, 3 in the morning, you know, because that takes a toll on you the rest of the week. You know, last week we got home at Sunday at 9 in the morning. So that takes a toll on you, not just from a football standpoint, but from an academic standpoint as well. I think you really see that in basketball. I talk to Coach Izzo all the time. As a matter of fact, he was there in my driveway at 5:30 this morning. You know, I let the dogs out. I was sort of surprised to see him. But anyway, you know, he's always talking about their night games and what time he has to get home and how the guys have classes in the morning and things of that nature. So it becomes a little bit difficult. But I've always just said, hey, we're going to line them up and play them when they tell us to play them. You know, this sort of third straight night game, so, you know, I believe in repetition makes you better. So we'll see. I asked him the same thing. I had my dogs out. I was letting my dogs out. And, you know, he was on his way. I think he got back at midnight last night. And he was catching a flight this morning at 5:45 to go to some other place. So.
How has Rocky kind of transitioned to splitting reps at punter and backup backup quarterback so far in the past week and a half, and how has he kind of developed as a
punter? He's done a good job. We always segment our special teams. You know, we always have a special teams, especially stretch type deal where you're either stretching or have special teams. So he's doing that at that time. Then we have different periods throughout the practice that are devoted to punting, or we have a special teams emphasis part of practice as well, where there's a 4 or 5 minute period in there. So he's getting opportunities to do that. And then, you know, obviously, there's after practice as well.
Mark, I was curious what your evaluation of Kevin Jarvis was through 2 weeks. He's been pretty consistently in the lineup at the same spot for you guys, and obviously still a young player. Just wondering how you thought he's played through 2 games for you.
Yeah, I think Kevin is an outstanding player. He's a big, strong guy, you know. 320, you know, 6'5", you know, 400, whatever. When you get over 400, I think they just quit counting the pounds. But, you know, there's the consistency aspect. He's still young. We saw a lot of different fronts these last couple of weeks. And so there's some things where I'm sure that there's been some MAs involved there. But physically, he's got talent. I thought I was very impressed last year with him. Again, when you talk about the offensive line, there are so many, you know, one guy can play very well and four guys can play well, and one guy can make a mistake and it makes all of them look bad. So, but I think he's been solid. I think he has a tremendous future here, and I think he's a foundation guy. We can build our offensive line around that guy.
I should have said this earlier. Can he be a leader in that room even as a sophomore? Is that something you see from him, or just with some older guys in there, they kind of take that role naturally?
I think he has leadership qualities as he grows, but, you know, I think the tendency that Kevin has right now is to watch and learn a little bit as a freshman, and then as a sophomore, he's speaking up more and more confident. And, you know, as time goes, he assumes more leadership.
Mark, I think we're close to the original timetable on Josiah Scott. Is he back working at all? Or
not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
And then I wanted to ask you real quick. Last week you mentioned about the difficult transition to center for Tyler. Is that a transition you're continuing with, or will Matt Allen get more work, or is that kind of a...
Yeah, we're going to make that decision at game time, probably.
With Harris, their punt returner, a touchdown last weekend, with Rocky at that punter spot, what's the kind of adjustment in order to... I think you guys slowed him down pretty well last year as well. What's that kind of continuing adjustment there?
Yeah, I didn't mention Deshaun Harris. He's done an outstanding job in their special teams and had one touchdown last week, and then another one called back, and then the punter dropped the punt, and, you know, that's not good when we're getting a new punter out there to see that. So they came up with that one as well. So they've been very productive this last week on special teams, and he's a guy that you have to defend, and you have to work special things throughout practice to get ready for him, and he should be commended just for coming back from his third ACL injury. So he's a testament to hard work and dedication. There's no question about that. But I don't know, did I answer your question? Sort of. Well, I guess we'll see. You know, maybe he'll have to move up.
Mark, what are you seeing out of Brandon Boyer Randall? And it seems like he's a guy who's in position to make some plays that he doesn't always make. What are you seeing as he develops? What do you want from him moving forward?
Brandon's a tremendous athlete, outstanding athlete, and he needs to continue to mature on the football field and play with great effort every single time because he's talented. But, you know, in a no-huddle offense, he played too many plays probably last week. Got to spell him a little bit because he is playing in nickel situations, and he played a linebacker as well. So Tyreek will be back. That'll take a little bit of load off of him in some regards, and we'll play Reschke as well. So I think all three of those guys are quality football players that can play for us, and so I really feel like they need to sort of split time. But Brandon can be an outstanding player, but sometimes he gets on the edge of blocks. Sometimes he's in the wrong gap. I mean, he's a young player, so he makes mistakes. And, you know, playing defensive football is about playing assignment football. So you've got to be able to make plays athletically to do that, but you also have to be right on top of things assignment-wise. And a lot of different things getting thrown at a guy who plays a multitude of positions. You know, he's playing in our nickel package at different things, and he's playing our money backer, and that's a position that, you know, got a lot of things going on, I guess is the way I'd say it.
Mark, right here in the middle, I'm wondering if you can give us just kind of a sense of the advantage or disadvantage of having a bye coming off of a close loss like that and how much your team might be champing at the bit to get back out there and get things turned around.
Well, I think when you come off a game like that, you know, first of all, you have an opportunity to really look at what happened in the game and step back and deal with it. And then you also have a chance to get over it. But usually the best way to get over a tough loss is to play another game. So I don't know. Again, you go back, catch 22 situation on those things. So nobody likes to lose. And when you lose, you want to get back on the other side of things. So I think our players have had an opportunity to sit and deal with this and dwell on this for a little bit. They've also had a time to step away from football for, you know, a day or so. We gave them that opportunity as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to watching our players play on Saturday night. That's all I can tell you.
The old brass spittoon, they don't carry that around like they do some of the older trophies, do they, after the game, or do they?
Oh, we've got it.
Yeah?
We carry it around.
What do you do with it?
What do we do with it? What do you do with the brass spittoon?
I don't know.
We spit in it.
Then
we clean it out, get it ready for next year, if we're fortunate enough to win.
I don't know how much that means to you, but I know being the Big Ten opener, do you expect a little more energy, oomph? I mean, this counts a little more than just one.
Yeah, this counts. You know, when we looked at how our season was going to play out, you know, and phase one to me is always August camp. Phase two is what's happening in those first four games. And we knew that we play our first game, and that's opening day, so that's special. And then we knew we had a great challenge to go to Arizona State because of just all the intricacies involved in the travel and the heat and all these things. And I think we conquered that. That was not why we lost the football game. We came up short, you know, 4-minute offense, 2-minute defense, however you want to short it out. So we came up short a little bit. But the Big Ten opener we knew was after the bye, and the Big Ten opener at IU playing away, second straight game playing away. We figured it might be at night. We sort of put that on the radar that it would probably be at night and knew that this was going to be a big game for us. So we needed to be ready for this game. So we've put a lot into this in terms of how we've sort of orchestrated our calendar and what we've tried to do. And it's important that we play well.
Mark, with their tempo offense, I think you guys used, what, maybe three defensive ends at Arizona State. It was a very limited rotation with injuries. But what are the complexities that tempo presents and trying to get guys in and out at that spot?
All the no-huddle things present a little bit of dynamics, different dynamics for you. And we've been good at it. You know, we've been pretty good at playing it, really, when you look at some of the teams we've played and held them, you know, to 9 points last year. And, you know, even Arizona State, you know, they got 16 points. Should have been less. But you got to get your guys on and off. And we've practiced that, how fast we can do it, and we can do it in about 6 seconds. So I don't think they can run a play in 6 seconds, depending on where it's at and on the field and those type of things. But we're coming off the field as the play goes blown dead, we're coming off the field. So we can get them on, getting them off, same type of thing. So we work at it, we practice it, and, you know, we had a couple issues the first game with it. And I think the second game we sort of negated that to some extent.
Also, while we're on that, just with those DNs in particular, getting to the quarterback too, that's one of the other parts that I wanted to add to that.
Well, the RPOs creates issues with that because you have to play the run and then reaccelerate to the pass. That's created some issues for everybody across America. You know, we're continually to try and do things to negate that. You know, and I always think that. There's always somebody, if it's the zone pressures, then the offense catches up with the zone pressures, how to deal with it. If it's the RPO and defense goes to work, I'm talking about across America, trying to identify what they do and how they do it and then defend those type of things. And I just think it's sort of a cat and mouse game, you know, really in every aspect of football throughout, whether it's special teams or defense or offense. Bear defense, how to attack bear defense at one point. So there's a lot of philosophical things, I think, that go back and forth over the years.
You sort of touched on it earlier about Indiana, but they played you tough the last couple of times. What sort of things did they do in those games that maybe they weren't doing before?
I think IU has played us very well. They expect to play us well again. It's been a close football game, you know, really, throughout time, really. I mean, even when there's been a couple of occasions where we've sort of distanced ourselves, it's been at the end of the game. So what kind of things have they done? I've said before, they ran some trick plays that have hit us in the past. They jumped out 17-0, I think, in 2014, maybe, or 13 or something. I don't know, way back. But, hit a couple plays on us. We had to come back on them. So it's always been a great football game to watch, and they've always been a great challenge for us.
Mark, you've lost the second game of the season. Sorry, right here in front. A couple times in recent years and been able to kind of go on a run from there. Is there kind of a biggest key to kind of getting guys to move on from the early loss and to kind of move forward?
Yeah, I think that we've always tried to challenge ourselves in terms, and I've said this before, you know, what are you going to do after big moments? What are you going to do after you win a big game? How are you going to respond the next week? Do you go flat or do you play? How do you play? Same thing when we've lost a game or we've lost a moment. You know, how do you handle yourselves? What's the next step for you as a person? Most people, I think most people in life really genuinely handle adversity. At least their intentions are good. Now, can they handle it or not? But they get ready to go for their next challenge. And that's what we're going to do. You know, that's what we've done in the past and that's our intent.
Mark, obviously injuries are not your favorite topic, but do you think with the timing of the bye week that will enable maybe a guy or multiple guys to play this week that wouldn't have if you'd have played last week, whether it's Jacob or Cole or David or LJ?
I will say yes. Okay, we'll see how it all shakes out, but I will say yes. It helps. That's what I meant.
Kind of final note along those lines, Coach. Last week you didn't seem overly concerned about LJ's availability for Saturday, but how you feel about whether he'll be fully operational in either case against Indiana, what you envision the running game doing better or differently against the Hoosiers?
Well, we need to run the ball more effectively. And the answer to your first question, you know, I don't really talk about those things. So we're going to see how it all shakes out.
rotationally with the running backs and just how you're
going to... Rotationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so all good? Thanks.